Good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do thank you for coming out this evening, and I do ask your forgiveness for being late. I'm not going to preach a sermon at all on punctuality. That would just be bad. This evening, I'm going to talk to us about becoming a little child and what it means to me. I don't know what that phrase means to you, but I know what it's meaning to me more now than ever before. God has put some things into my mind and heart that I never really paid attention to before in the things that he did and the things that he taught. So I would title this Become a Little Child. I ask that you would open your scriptures to the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. And I'm going to start at the first verse. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And what did Jesus do? It says in the second verse, it says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Okay, so that's what he did. He brought this little child forth and had him sit down in the midst of the group of all these people. And then he started preaching to the people about becoming a little child and who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn to Mark, the 9th chapter, and kind of goes over it again. But we're going to go to Mark chapter 9. We'll start at verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? What were you guys arguing about on the way here?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So he knew what they were arguing about on the way there. And they didn't want to tell him that they were trying to figure out who was going to be the greatest, which one of them was going to be the most exalted. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Basically, it's the same story. Hey, little Bobby, come here. Come here, come on, come and sit down right here. I'm going to use you as an example for all of these men, all these people. All right? It's going to be all right. Trust me. I'm going to take care of you. Just come here. I need you. And John answered him, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us." God, we saw somebody doing miracles, but he was doing it in your name, but he wasn't listening to us. He wasn't wanting to follow us and follow you. He was doing his own thing, but doing it in your name, and he was actually performing miracles. And so we told him, hey, you can't do that. You're not one of us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. So he's still got little Bobby sitting on his lap, there in his arms. And he's talking to these guys about all this stuff. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And he's talking about the hell that's outside the gates of Jerusalem. Okay? It's this valley that all of the refuge of the town goes into, and it's full of nastiness, and the worms are there, and the stink from the fires that they're trying to burn up all the garbage and everything. You know, he's telling them it's like that. You know, the worm that never dieth, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's better to get rid of these things that are offending you or causing you to commit sin than it is for you to be cast out into this nastiness, because that is just a disgusting place to have to spend the rest of your life or eternity. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. I don't know if you remember the sermon I preached on mashed potatoes and salt a long time ago, just before teen camp. Nobody wants to eat mashed potatoes that are unsalted. It's just not tasty. And God doesn't want any kind of sacrifice from you that doesn't taste good to him. He doesn't want you to do it half-heartedly. He wants you to do it completely, totally, because you love him, because you want to please him. That's the kind of sacrifice he wants from us. Like little Bobby, willing to do whatever Jesus Christ said. You know, this is what he expects from each and every one of us. To be just like that little child. Come here. I need you to do something for me. I want you to be an example for the rest of these men here, so I can teach them something about what it is I want from the world. Become as a little child. Be like little Bobby, willing to just walk right into this group of very important men who thought at least one of them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Come here. I'm going to use you. Because you are willing to serve me without question. When I call, you come forth. When I ask you to do my will, you do it without hesitation. Because you have the heart of a child. You trust in me. You're willing to obey me in all things. And you're not afraid of obeying me. You know that whatever it is I ask you to do, it's going to be okay. That's what he wants from us. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, where will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves. Do what I ask you to do. Do it the way I want you to do it, with the attitude that I've asked you to have while performing my commandments. If you do that, have peace one with another. You do it the way I ask you to do it, and you're going to have peace one with another. If you don't, you're going to have strife and confusion and bickering and arguing and who's going to be the greatest and who's going to be the least. And you're just going to have a mess on your hands. But if you do it the way I ask you to do it, with the right attitude, like little Bobby, with the right amount of salt in your heart, you're going to have peace. It's going to be okay. I will take care of you. Let's turn to Exodus, the 19th chapter. All right. We have, this is Exodus. This is the entire house of Israel. They've gone through the 10 plagues in Egypt. They've left Egypt behind. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've seen the Egyptians buried in the sea. And they're there in front of the mountain. And we're going to start at the third verse of chapter 19. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenants, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Out of everybody on the face of this planet, if you'll do these things for me, like I've asked you to, out of everybody that's living on this planet right now, you're going to be a peculiar people unto me. And everybody's going to know who you are. If you do it the way I said. For all the earth is mine. All of these people that are inhabiting the earth, they all belong to me. They do. But you're going to be a peculiar people among them. And they'll know who you are. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. What do priests do? Well, they serve God and they serve the people through their actions, through their words, through their thoughts and desires, if they're doing it right. So if the whole group of them were going to be a nation of holy priests, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, they were all going to be doing it right. Not just the Levites, but all of them. He wanted each and every one of them to be this peculiar people. Not just their ministers, but all of them. He was calling all of them to work. He was calling all of them to be little children. Servants. Because don't children obey their parents? Aren't they forced to obey their parents? Don't you make your kids obey you? Donnie talked about it this morning. Up until the time that we're 18 years old, Donnie said this morning, you have your children obeying you and they have to follow the rules until they get to be that certain age and then they're out on their own, right? They serve your desires They follow the rules. They're supposed to do it with gladness in their heart. I don't want to do this. Grumbling and mumbling. How many times did you get in trouble again because you grumbled and mumbled when you were forced to do something as a child? I know I got in trouble for it. So you had to have the right attitude if you didn't want to get in trouble, right? This is what he's expecting from us. I want you to do it with the right attitude. And you're going to be my children. You're going to serve me. You'll be my servant. All of you. Not just the Levites, but all of you. Not just the ministers. Not just me and Jim and any of the other men that have been called to the ministry, but all of us. We have to do it with the right attitude. We all got to become little Bobbies. Turn to Peter, 1 Peter. 2nd chapter. We'll start at the first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, get rid of all your sin, okay? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Look to the word of God, the words of Christ. Do it in sincerity. Follow it to the letter. Become children of God. That ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You turn to Jesus in all sincerity and serve him in righteousness as a child serves its parents. Become a servant of the Lord, and you'll never be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. If you believe that that stone, Jesus Christ, is precious above all other things, you'll never be confounded if you trust in him. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone, Jesus Christ, which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus Christ, if you are disobedient, you're going to stumble over this. And it's going to trip you up, and you're going to be smashed by it. Fact is, in one place in the scripture says it'll grind you into powder if you wait for it to fall on you. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. You take the words of Christ and you twist them around to suit your own purposes, to make it say the way what you want it to say, you're going to be in trouble. Stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, you who are children of Christ, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, back in the time of David, there was no mercy except unless you came to the mercy seat and hung on to it. Okay? That was the only mercy you could find. There was no mercy in the law of Moses. And at my mother-in-law's house this evening, we were reading and discussing the sins of David. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. Because of the sins he committed, a child died. You know, he was responsible for a lot of sin and death. And according to the law of Moses, he should have been stoned to death. But he did something that was amazing. He broke the bones of his soul. He broke his own will, his own desires, and he flung himself at the feet of God and begged for mercy. And he asked him to cleanse him of all sin. He knew that there was no way that he could perform any kind of physical sacrifice that would pay for the sins that he had committed. So he did the only thing he could. He asked God to forgive him, and he repented of his sins. It took him 7 days of fasting and prayer. But it happened. And you think, how could that, you know, this is the law of Moses that he was going up against. How could that be? Well, how did he receive this redemption of his soul? How did he receive forgiveness of his sins? Same way those Lamanites did in prison with Lehi and Nephi. They threw themselves upon the mercy of God and asked for forgiveness. They came to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and they received forgiveness. And this was before the time of Christ. And they got it. They received the Holy Ghost that day. So did David. Did the consequences of David's sin leave him? No. The child died, and the sword never departed from David's house. There was always bickering and fighting among his children. His wives were taken from him and given to someone else. All of the punishments that Nathan told David that were going to come upon him because of the sins that he had committed, they came upon him. That wasn't taken away, but he was forgiven. The consequences were still there. But David's sitting there in the kingdom of heaven right now because he went to God humbly, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, just like this little kid was willing to come to Jesus Christ and do what he said to do. And from that point on, David said that he promised there in the 51st Psalm that he would sing the praises of God to the people, and he would teach the transgressors about their sins and how they could be forgiven of their sins, not just through these animal sacrifices, but by having a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Their souls would be cleansed. They'd become whiter than snow. So he did. Just like God expects each and every one of us to do the same thing. Sing his praises to the people that are out there that have no idea that God is willing to forgive them. He's willing to forgive each and every one of us, but he's expecting all of you and me to be that peculiar people, to be that light on the hill, the city that can't be hid. That's what Donnie was talking about this morning. He expects each and every one of us to be that testimony of Jesus Christ to everyone that we meet. Fact is, he's demanding it. He commands it. This is what I expect of you in all things that you do. I want you to become as a little child, willing at any moment to come and sit down on my lap and be an example for those people, whether they're important men in the community or just regular people. Come here, I need you. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. This is verse 11. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. The people outside the church, those are the Gentiles. Because you are all children of the house of Israel. All of you that have been baptized and taken upon you the name of Christ, you're supposed to be his little children. That, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Thank God that I ran into those Christian people, those members of the Church of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them into my life, because the things that they were doing and the way they acted in their lives and how they did their work, that caused me to stop and consider my own life and the way I've been behaving. And I know these people. They're good people, and they actually believe what's written. They actually try and live the laws of Christ in all things that they do, even here at work. And they say that I can be just like them. And thank you, God, for putting them into my life. I'm going to become a child of Christ because of them. That's what he's asking. That's what he's expecting from us. Turn to Mosiah, the first chapter. I will tell you the page in just a moment, as soon as I find it. It is page 218 is where we're going to go to. It's chapter 1 of Mosiah. I'm going to start at the 119th verse. And I'm going to read down to 123. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. David, King David, God's anointed one, became a natural man. Even after he'd been anointed to be king, he was a natural man. He was an enemy to God. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. And these were a lot of the bullet points that Donnie had on his slide this morning. Willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And he expects us to be the reason that this knowledge has spread through our actions and our words. And our thoughts, our desires, our willingness to serve God. When the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children. Only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. You have to do this, or you will not be found blameless And even at this time when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee. You do these things, you teach the people these things, and they'll be found blameless as long as they keep his commandments. It's a promise. Become as little children. You're going to be all right. No matter what happens, no matter what circumstance he puts you in to use you as an example, become as a little child and do it submissively, willingly, without fear. You're going to be all right. Turn to Galatians, the third chapter. I'm going to start at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's why. That's why he considers you his little children, through your faith, your willingness to believe in him, something that you can't really see, but you're willing to believe and do according to that which is written. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I see no reason for you to be punished any further by having to listen to me because I was late. Again, I thank all of you for being here tonight. And I ask that you would pray for the church, that we would all be willing to submit and follow God's word, the words of Christ, to the letter, that we will all become one in his eyes, that we will neither be Jew nor Greek, that we won't be outside, but we'll be inside, that we'll be his children. I ask that you pray for this. Thank you.